We're going to talk about church planting methodology, the methods and principles of church planting. It's very interesting that as we study and read the New Testament, we find that the foundation of biblical missions was church planting. The practical outflow of the Great Commission really was seeing churches established. As the apostles and others were sent to preach the gospel, that's what happened. They preached the gospel, people would respond, and would then continue to meet together, and the apostles will continue to train and to teach them. And then later on, as the church was established, appoint new leaders. And then they would continue to encourage and strengthen the church by visiting them and writing letters. As a matter of fact, most of the New Testament consists of these letters written by Paul and others to encourage and strengthen the new church plants. And I want us to look a little bit at the example that is given to us in the Bible. So as we read together and we look at the very first church plant, let us see what principles can we learn and apply in our church plants today. Let's look at the church, the very first church planted in Acts, which is the church in Jerusalem. We read of that from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 13. Now, it's very interesting that this very first church, we can see that the church was born through prayer. We see here in Acts 1 to Acts 4 that the believers were all together in one accord, seeking and praying for God and His will to be done. They were together in one accord with an excitement, but with an expectation and a longing that God will come and establish His will. And out of that prayer, the church was established. It is through that prayer that God responded in a very particular way, which we will get to. But I guess we cannot overemphasize the importance of prayer in church planting. Because ultimately, church belongs to God and not to man. We are dependent on God, and we should acknowledge that. And practically, that's how we do it, through seeking God's face. In Psalm 127 verse 1, we read that unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Jesus declared in Matthew 16:18, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. It's so powerful that Jesus says that I will build my church. Church belongs to God and not to man. So it is so important that we actually seek Him, seek His face, seek His direction, seek His presence, seek His empowerment to be able to do what He has called us to do. At the first church plant, all the believers were in one accord, seeking God's face and waiting for Him. Everything that we do in church is ultimately unto Him, because it's for Him and unto Him that we plant and we work and we labor together. So yes, we need His blessing. We need His direction. We need His empowerment, because we are building with Him. We are building His church. And I found in my life that the more reliant I am on God, the more dependent I am on Him, the more I pray. The opposite is also sadly true. The more dependent I am on my own ability, the more confident I am in my own experience and my own ability to do something, the less I tend to pray. Prayer is so important. I trust that we will continually pray and ask God for His ability and His direction, and not lean on our own understanding and our own experience, but really seek His face and His guidance. Let's just read this portion of scripture here in Luke chapter 4 verse 17. Jesus says, and He was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when He had opened the book, He found the place where it is written. And then He declared this powerful words, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me. You see that? He has anointed me. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me for a very specific purpose, to anoint me, to empower me to preach the gospel, the good news to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That is why we have the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is not just a power. He's also a person. He is the one that comes alongside us, like I mentioned, to help us. And what a privilege we have to actually ask God to mentor us in our witnessing. And we can ask Him. We can relate to Him as a mentor. We can relate to Him as the helper and ask Him to teach us, ask Him the difficult questions, ask Him and share with Him the struggles that we have, and allow Him to teach us, allow Him to empower us, and to start to relate to the Holy Spirit as the mentor that has come to empower you to be effective in accomplishing the Great Commission. So as we come together, let's relate to the Holy Spirit also in that way. The first time you plant a church, you're going to need a lot of help. And the more you plant, the more help you're going to need. And that's really why the Holy Spirit is there. Make use of Him. Ask Him. He's willing to teach you if you only are willing to ask Him. Yeah, in Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6, we read, "So He said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty." What a powerful scripture. What a great encouragement when we plant churches, that we know that this is not about me, it's not about my ability, but it's about His ability. You know what's so powerful? In that same chapter, He goes on and say in verse 10, "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in the Zerubbabel's hand." What a powerful scripture. I'll just read that again. "Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin, to see the plumb line in Zerubbabel's hand." How powerful is that? Why is it not by might nor by power? Because it is by the Spirit of God. How powerful it is when we start something and know that God is part of it, and God is excited. I mean, what a powerful and what an exciting adventure it is with God when you allow the Holy Spirit to guide that plumb line as we begin to build a church, knowing that God's eyes are upon us and He rejoices over this work that we are beginning. And that is the great adventure with Christ. That is the great adventure with the Holy Spirit. And maybe you are here today listening to me and you are part of a church plant, and it's been months and it is still small. I want to encourage you with these words of God. Do not despise these small beginnings, for the Lord rejoices to see the work begin. I want to encourage you with this. God sees and He's excited about what you are doing. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide that plumb line in your hand as you lay the foundation and you lay the bricks. Allow the Holy Spirit to guide you, because that is why He's here. That is His passion, is to empower us to do the work, in Jesus' name. The third principle that we see and can learn from in the first church plant in Acts is that the church really began through the proclamation of the gospel. They were preaching the good news. And that's so important, especially in the beginning. Stick to the basics. Preach the gospel and the principles of the kingdom of God. Do not start with a series on how to become a better you or the seven eyes of the beast in Revelation. No, stick to the gospel and the good news and the principles of the kingdom of God. Because you must remember, people ultimately are coming to church because they wanted to follow Jesus. So get the balance right. As important as the corporate image and structure is, don't overdo the brand, but focus on Jesus and the kingdom. And as people see and hear that the kingdom and Jesus is the center of the church, they will be less skeptical and afraid of any structure that you may implement around the church and through the church. So get that balance right. You must understand, people have a longing for Christ more than they have a longing for structure. That is what it's all about. Keep Him the center of everything that you do. You know, the end goal of everything that we do is not church planting, but advancing the kingdom of God. And if our primary focus is simply on planting churches and structures, soon we lose the heart of what it's all about. It's really about the kingdom. If the total focus is church planting, the focus is removed from God's kingdom. And then these churches sadly only become a monument to themselves. So keep your preaching simple. Keep it focused on the kingdom. Keep it focused on the gospel. And allow the people to buy into Christ and his kingdom. And then add the corporate to it. The fourth principle that we find in the first church plant is that they baptized in the name of Jesus. I mean, that is so powerful for us also. Making converts is what it's all about. Getting the lost saved. That is our primary focus. So we must never forget that in everything we do, it's about getting the lost saved. And to make a big thing of that, actually celebrate that. Celebrate every time somebody comes to that point of repentance and faith and following Christ. Celebrate baptisms. Make a big thing of that. Get the whole church involved. Make altar calls regularly. Never forget to make an altar call after every opportunity. Even though it might seem as a repetitive tradition to some, it is so powerful to give an opportunity for somebody to respond to the gospel. Never forget that opportunity and make use of that. That's really what it's all about. Make a big thing about testimonies and create a culture of giving testimonies, of celebrating what God has done in people's life. Even if it is the smallest breakthrough, give an opportunity for people to share because people are encouraged when they hear one another's stories. So make a big thing of special occasions in the life of a believer and encourage people to share about that. The fifth principle that we can learn from the first church plant is its location. It was strategic. The first church was planted in Jerusalem, the heart of Israel. Even in the life of Paul that set the pattern of biblical missions, we see that Paul was very strategic in where he planted. The first thing that Paul would do whenever he entered into a city was to go directly to the synagogue and he would start teaching and preaching there. Because he knew in the synagogue he would find God-fearing people that had an understanding of who God is that he could convert. And the moment they were converted and baptized, he would form a core with these people, with these new believers. These new believers, this core group, became an open door into the community through which Paul could minister. And as he established the core, he then moved on to the rest, to the Gentiles, to the lost within the community. In Shofar, we follow a similar pattern. We actually establish a core group before we send the pastor. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more later on. I want you to quickly break up into your little groups again. And I want to give you a little assignment that you must discuss with one another. The assignment is very simple, and I trust you learn from it, because that's how most of our churches are planted. You are the pastor, and we're going to send you on a plane to some city. Let's say we're sending you to Port Elizabeth. There is a group of 15 people, very excited old Shofarites. They've been through foundations, they've been through encounters, they've been through Bible school. They have been praying for 6 months, and they have been waiting for the church to respond by sending you. You are the person that we have asked to go and establish the church. You've met this group maybe 3 times before with Pastor Sias over a weekend, and they have been praying, they have been scouting out for possible venues, they are so excited, and this is day one, meeting you at the airport with great excitement that finally the pastor has arrived. The assignment is, what are you going to do? What are your first things that you're going to establish practically? So I want you to discuss with one another, now that you have arrived at the airport, what are you going to do? What are the first things that you're going to establish What are the first things that you're going to practically do to establish the church? Let's discuss that. Thank you.